Praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. It's so good to see everybody here on a Wednesday night. Amen. Praise the Lord. Why don't we all stand tonight? Amen. We'll go ahead and get this Wednesday night started. Praise the Lord. I want to go ahead and go over some announcements real quick. Don't forget about this Saturday, April 4th at 7 to 9 p.m. There'll be the Easter egg hunt. I know, I believe it's supposed to be at the Reno Park, but maybe pending weather. So just kind of keep your ears and eyes out. Location may change. Let's not forget about, somebody say this Sunday. This Sunday, amen, is going to be our final Easter drive. Let's not forget about our red and blue team. Amen, the Hatfield and McCoys. Amen, I've got a feeling I'm on the winning team. Amen, praise the Lord. So y'all be sure to bring your visitors this Sunday, and remember that the offering is split between the red and the blue teams. Let's not forget about Friday, April 10th, 7 to 10 a.m. in the coffee room, the community give back to law enforcement. We're going to be serving all law enforcement there. Saturday, April the 11th, 8 to 10 a.m. at the Family Life Center, the men's breakfast. Let's not forget about that. Then Thursday and Friday, April 16th and 17th, is the Ladies Joy Conference. And then let's not forget about the upcoming wedding of Marlene Coronado and Josh Clark. The wedding date is going to be April 12th. There's still a table out front if you'd still like to bless those. Praise the Lord. And then let's not forget about Monday, April 20th through the 22nd, 6:30 to 7:30 in the Blast Kids area. There's going to be a kids crusade with Brother Kevin Merriman. Praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen, amen. We're going to get this worship team up here tonight, amen, and we're just going to begin to lift up the name of the Lord tonight. I don't know about you, but I've come expecting something great to happen on this Wednesday night, amen. Y'all just worship with us tonight.
Hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, Lord, you're worthy.
I think about what the Lord has done for me. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Can't nobody tell it like I can tell it. Amen. He might have brought you out of something, but amen, you can't tell it like I can. Amen. I'm so thankful to be here on a Wednesday night. Praise the Lord. We're going to go ahead and call our ushers up here. Amen. As they make their way up here, I'd also like to, let's not forget about all the names on our prayer request list. Amen. If you have a need that you'd just like to make known, why don't we just lift our hands tonight. Amen. God knows those needs. He knows every situation. We're going to take these needs to the Lord tonight. We're also going to bless this offering. Amen. Lord, we're so thankful tonight. God, we ask you, Lord, that you would touch each and every one of these needs. God, you see each and every hand that would lift it in this place. We pray, God, that you would anoint the word as it comes forth tonight. God, we ask you, Lord, that you'd bless this offering tonight, God. Bless those that have to give, Lord, and those that have not the same. We pray that you just have your way in this service, God. We give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Praise the Lord. Give. Praise the Lord. Y'all just worship with us one more time tonight. Thank you.
Amen. Praise God. Amen. Nothing greater or no one greater to lean on than Jesus. Amen. What a great God we serve. Amen. So glad you're here on a Wednesday night. God bless you for being in the house of the Lord. Amen. No place better than midweek at the UPC of Paris. Amen. God bless you for being here. Amen. Why don't we pray before we're seated tonight? Lord, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for this great church. We ask you, God, to anoint us. Help us, God, to say something, Lord, to be an encouragement tonight. Lord, bless these great people. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said amen. God bless you. You may be seated tonight. Thank you for standing. Amen. So good to be in service. And I do want to echo again, don't forget, this Sunday morning is Easter Sunday. And we're super excited about Easter here at the UPC of Paris. And believe in God for a great day. Amen. 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 I want to start tonight, and I'll get into our text here in a few minutes, but kind of want to lay just a quick foundation, if I could, before we get to where we're going. And I want to say that, as you already know, salvation is a free gift of God that is received by those who obey the gospel through faith. We know that we could never do enough works to earn salvation. Paul tells us this in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. He says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." We know that God robed himself in flesh and he paid the price for our sins. Acts 20:28 tells us that he purchased the church with his own blood. We know that salvation was freely given to us. And Paul told us that in Romans 10:14 that how then shall they call on Jesus in whom they have not believed, and how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard, and how shall they hear without a preacher, and how shall they preach unless they are sent, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Aren't you thankful for a preacher that came down your row and preached the gospel to you someday? Thank God for the gospel, amen. Amen. But Paul, he continues three verses later, and he says a verse I like to quote all the time in verse 17, that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. So when you heard, when a preacher preached to you the gospel, and when God pulled on you, as Jesus said in John 6:44, that no man can come lest the Spirit draw him. And when you obeyed the gospel, when you obeyed Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, you experienced salvation. Now, that was not something you earned, but it was something you responded to. Now, I want you to hear something I believe is very important. And for the past 6-7 months, anytime I've read in 2 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, when Paul is speaking about heaven, God has just arrested my attention on some of these verses. And I think it's important we know that salvation, which is Christ, salvation is our foundation. Okay? Salvation is the entry point. Salvation is our foundation. Christ is that foundation. Paul echoes this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11, Paul says, "For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Paul said, and I don't have time to preach this today, he said, I laid a great foundation, but it wasn't my foundation. I was laying the foundation called the gospel, which is Jesus Christ, and nobody else can lay any other foundation. If anybody else, Paul says, comes preaching any other gospel, let them be accursed, all right? So once we have that foundation, it's important to know that salvation is the foundation, but once you have the foundation, our life is now like a building project. And it's now our job to build on top of our foundation a life that pleases the Lord by how we live, how we grow, and how we serve. That is something we preach all the time called sanctification. Simply put, that is what God does in us. Amen? Sanctification is the lifelong process of actually becoming more like Him through obedience to His Word. And this takes us to our text tonight found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And I'll read verses 1 through 10. You can stay seated. Got a pretty good bit of scripture here. Paul is speaking here, and he's speaking about our earthly bodies. When he mentions the word tent, he's speaking about our bodies, okay? For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, if it's destroyed when we die, that we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this earthly body, we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven, meaning we yearn for a glorified heavenly body. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. When you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that was God's stamp on your life. That was God's guarantee on your life that you will have a glorified body at some point in the future. Verse 6 says, so we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. This is a famous verse used in lots of funeral services, and it's a true verse that when you die, you are present with the Lord. To be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. Verse 9 says, therefore, we make it our aim, rather present or absent, to be well-pleasing to Him. And our anchor verse tonight is verse 10. He said, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, rather good or bad. I want to talk to us tonight on simply building for eternity. Before we move on in this message, I want to clarify something so there's no confusion. Yes, all of us will stand before God, but for the believer, we do not stand there to be condemned for our sins because Jesus already paid that price. And when you obeyed the gospel, your sins were done away with. I spoke about this a couple of weeks ago, but I just want to clarify something. We spoke about 1 John, where in 1 John it tells us that we can have confidence, not fear. So we don't stand before God as criminals, if you will, awaiting some type of punishment for our sins. But we will stand before Him to give an account for how we lived. Not condemnation, but evaluation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, our anchor verse in verse 10, is not a judgment for sin that was settled at the cross. We're not standing there to find out if we're saved or not. We're already healed. He is. We've been sealed with the promise. But we are standing there in Paul's writings here. We're standing there to give an account for how we lived and to receive what comes from that, whether reward or loss of reward. So yes, when we get to heaven, when you get to that place, you have already made it, but now what you built with your life is going to be revealed. I think the best way I've read about it when I've researched this is to think of it like a graduation ceremony. You're not there to find out if you passed. You're there because you did pass, but everything you did while you were in school is now being recognized. Some in that moment receive reward, and then some suffer loss when they realize that I really didn't build my life for Christ. Now, with that in mind, I want to read again, if you'd keep that 2 Corinthians 5:10 up, I want to read this again. Paul said, we must all, everyone said all, everyone who's experienced the gospel, everyone who is saved, born again, we will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, according to that what he has done, whether good or bad. I want to repeat what I said a couple of minutes ago, that salvation is the foundation, but what we build after salvation is of utmost importance in God's eyes. I want to read a verse of scripture to show what will happen at the judgment seat of Christ. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 12 through 15. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation, who is the foundation? Christ is the foundation, right? If anyone builds on this foundation with gold, with silver, with precious stones, or with wood, with hay, with straw, each one's work will become clear for the day. The day is the judgment seat of Christ, when Christ gives out rewards, when Christ evaluates our life. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Everything I build is going to be tested. Not whether I'm saved, but whether my life actually mattered. In other words, what I did for the Lord with the time I was given is going to be evaluated. Again, let me repeat, the judgment seat of Christ is not a place and a time when the Lord is going to mete out punishment for sins committed by the child of God. Rather, it is a place where rewards will be given or lost, depending on how I use my life for the Lord. One author pointed out, and I quote, "It is significant that among the final words of Revelation, the last book of the Bible, we find these words of the Lord." Revelation chapter 22, verse 12, Jesus said, "Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to render to every man according to what he or she has done." God gives us salvation. It is a gift through faith, but he rewards us. Again, you're not saved by works, but he rewards us for good works. So I ask tonight a simple question: what are you building? What are we doing with the time and the talents that God has given us? When Paul wrote and said that if you have built your life, if you're currently building your life after salvation, again, let me just clear this up in prayer for you. You don't have to ever doubt this again in this message. I'm not talking about saved and unsaved. I'm talking about saved. You are saved when you experience the gospel. And the way you stay saved is you continue to build. Man, it's called sanctification, all right? As long as Christ is being formed in you, the hope and glory, as long as you are reaching for Christ, I promise you, God ain't trying to put you in hell, okay? So the wood, the hay, the stubble, the straw, what is that? What does that mean when Paul is speaking about that? These perishable things that we know when the fire hits these things, they burn up. Well, these, according to my studies, these represent works that are cheap, common, combustible. They're not necessarily evil deeds, but they are worthless for eternity because they are done for the wrong reasons or with the wrong focus. They include things such as selfish ambition, doing good things primarily to be seen by others to gain fame or to boost your own ego. We know that's not the way to go, all right? They are things such as earthly priorities, spending the bulk of our time and talents on things that have no spiritual value, Again, it's not a sin. I've said this over, and I may sound like a broken record, that I have enough Bible to speak about an individual should prepare, you should save, you should have retirement, you should do everything you can. That's the Bible talks about wise men. You should be a wise man or a wise woman. That's good. You should do things like that. But Paul is trying to address that if I spend the bulk of my time, if my priority are on things that have no spiritual value, such as accumulating wealth, seeking human approval, or chasing worldly success, then I'm building my life out of wood, hay, and straw. Things such as works of the flesh, serving out of your own human strength and cleverness rather than depending on the Holy Spirit for its direction, for its leading. Things such as superficial activity, being busy, busy, busy with religious tasks while neglecting a true relationship with God or failing to obey His specific word. I could spend time on here, but you hear me tonight that just because you serve in the church and just because you're busy, busy, busy. Remember when Jesus came and He was at Mary and Martha's house and she got ticked off and she said, "Lord, how about me? Don't you see I'm busy, busy, busy?" Remember that verse? It didn't say it just like that. But can't you see I'm serving, I'm doing, I'm a busy bee in the house. But here she is, here Mary is. She's just sitting at your feet. That don't make no sense. What is she doing of any eternal value? The Lord, he points out a very vital principle, I believe. And He says, you've missed the whole point. It's not about being religious. And it's not about looking like, man, I got it all together and I serve in 74 departments. That ain't religious. That's called burnout. Amen. You don't have to be involved in everything in this house to think you're, that ain't how you save, babe. That's how you backslide. Amen. You better make sure you got a burden and God's leading you and God's talking to you. And so, but there's some people who believe that their busyness equates to salvation, and that's not it. I feel it again. Let's cancel out. Everyone say, I obey the gospel. Okay, when you obeyed Acts 2:38, everyone said, saved. Everyone said, saved. He made it home, all right? You're saved. But what happens after that is vital. Okay, we're not talking about salvation. We're talking about what I do after I'm saved. Okay, so being busy, busy, busy is not what God's want. And also, if in your business you neglect falling in love with Jesus, that's not really building for eternity. That's building out of wood, hay, and stubble. I think, hear me, and I'm careful what I say, but there's times I've been stressed in the past, not here, in the past, where we were so focused on all these other things in the church that we forgot the most important part was being at His feet. The most important part was a daily relationship with God. The most important part was falling in love, and more importantly, obeying the one who declares His word is forever settled. I mean, so many people believe that, again, that I can do, and I don't have to do all these things, but God's word doesn't apply to me. Yes, it does. And His word applies to you, man. If I'm building out of superficial activity, if I'm building just to be seen, if I have selfish ambitions, if I have earthly priorities, if I have works of the flesh, if I'm serving out of my own human strength, I'm building my life out of wood, out of hay, out of stubble, out of things that are perishable, that I don't want to stand before the Lord, not worried about if I'm saved, but stand before God realizing, man, I really didn't do what I probably should have done and could have done. What is the gold, silver, and precious stones? These are the eternal things. These represent works of enduring value that are rare, durable, and these are non-combustible. These don't burn up. These are things that survive at the judgment seat of Christ. They are things such as godly motives, service that is done purely for God's glory and out of love for Him. And it often represents the divine character, His character, being built in your life. There are things such as redemptive impact, if you will. It's works that point others to the gospel and the redemptive work of Christ. I want to just ask you a quick question. Can somebody be saved by just watching your life? Do you live a life that when others see you, how you act, how you respond, how you speak, how you deal with people, that they could watch your life and say, man, that's the kind of character I want. And it would be a life that makes them ask of you, what is it that you have? And remember this, folks. I'm going to leave this pulpit in about 20 minutes. And Lord willing, if God lets me live, I'll be gone for about 72 hours before Sunday. When I leave this pulpit, I promise you, 24,000, whatever the population is in the city, I'll say if there's 24,800 people, there's about 65 folk here tonight. 24,750 people, I ain't worried about Brad tonight. Now, you 60 folks are just staring at the preacher and hoping I say something to help you out, maybe. But when I leave here, if I pass by 3,000 people the remainder of this week, what I do, what I say, how I act, could be the determining factor of someone being saved. Maybe not tomorrow, but over a long term. It could be the result of someone saying, man, what is it that gives you peace when they watch you live, when they watch you operate? What is that? Your character is different than my character. Remember, it's not about, now I'm careful about this. Now, I'm not against pulpits and preaching. I like to preach. It's fun. And God called me to that. Or sometimes I get very nervous because I'm ADD and I'm a crash studier and I'm last minute on lots of things, just my weird brain. But I'm comfortable doing this because I'm called to do this. But I also understand how I live is a whole lot bigger than the hour and a half I stand behind this pulpit every week. I mean, what I do on Monday and Tuesday and Thursday, I know it's practical, but I'm telling you, so many people miss that they're trying to build a life based off of religiosity. They're trying to build a life based off of serving in some department. That ain't how you build a life for God. How you build is how you live. How you build is what matters the most. It's the gold, it's the silver, it's the precious stone. It's the character of a man or a woman. Amen. Gold, silver, what else? It's spirit-led. Everyone said spirit-led. Anyone besides me desire to be spirit-led? Amen. Where God just gives you opportunity to walk through a door. That's being spirit-led. It's called acts of obedience, if you will. And it's service that come together through trials and the Holy Ghost working on the inside of a man or a woman. These are what we call, if you will, hidden treasures of a life that is fully surrendered to God. It's when I wake up tomorrow, God, lead me today. God, guide me today. I've said it before, and it's humorous and it's funny, but you don't have to force yourself on nobody. The Holy Ghost has a way of opening doors for you. Holy Ghost has a way of becoming a divine highway between you and sister so-and-so and brother. God has a way of doing stuff like that. And what you don't realize, sometimes we think, and please don't misunderstand what I'm going to say, but we think sometimes that attendance to church is building a life for God. No, it ain't. I'm glad you come. You should come. Need to come to church. But it's a whole lot bigger than just your hide parked on a pew. Amen. It's building a life, and building a life for God is being spirit-led. Amen. Building with gold and silver is when someone asks, will you teach me this? Will you show me why this? Will you tell me what it takes? That's building something right there. That's building something great right there when someone asks you, can you teach me more about what it means to be baptized in the name of Jesus? Can you show me more how God was manifest in the man Jesus? Can you show me more? What is it about you people that makes me want to serve God? What are you doing? You're building something that's going to last for eternity. What a great day it's going to be if you can stand before the Lord and you can look behind, so to speak, and see I got five or six more with me that God helped me build. Wow, what was I doing? I was building for eternity. Amen. Gold, silver, precious stones. What else? It's biblical truth. It's teaching. It's living out that pure, unadulterated word of God rather than human traditions. Amen. It's about living out. Amen. The B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me. Man, it's not. I feel some things. Just stay with the preacher right now. It's not. I'm telling you, it's not about how high you jump, how fast you run. I'm all for stuff like that. I really am. If God's in it. I'm all for stuff being Holy Ghost led and Spirit breaking out. Now, some of the stuff is just tradition and folks felt like they had to do it because it was. No, that ain't true. When the Holy Ghost really moves, I promise you, you know when it's real, when it's fake. Amen. But when God is moving, it's okay to be yielded. But at the same time, don't be tied down to just, it's the traditional way. I'm not interested in traditional. I want the Bible way. I want God to lead me, to guide me. Why? I want to build for eternity. I'm not worried about, forgive me if this offends you, but I really don't care if you like me. I want you to like me, but I really don't care if you don't like me because I ain't trying to please you. Amen. I want to hear Jesus say, well done, thou good and faithful. Amen. Our job is to build on top of our foundation. Again, what I said at the beginning, a life that pleases the Lord. And I want to talk about each of these points tonight from study that I've gotten. And I want to talk about live, grow, and serve. Everyone said how you live matters. Your daily conduct is going to be judged at the judgment seat of Christ. Paul said, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Remember, when you serve, if you do serve in this church in any capacity, remember, you're not serving for me. Amen? Let me just take it a step further. In the business you own, in the job you work, you're not just serving men. You're serving the Lord. This is a side note, but the Bible talks about whatever your hands find to do, do it halfway. Now, come on, fellas. I hope you read the Bible. You can talk back at the preacher and say you're wrong. The Bible says, whatever your hands find to do, do it with all your might. As unto the Lord. Not unto me. As unto God, because he's the one that rewards how you live. So if you own the business, you do it with excellence. If you work the job, you do it with excellence. Amen. That's why I believe, this personal opinion, I believe they will serve Chick-fil-A in heaven. I'm not lying. What I love, now you like them or hate them. Some folks hate their chicken. I eat chicken every day. I'm going to turn into a chicken. I'm serious. Either it's rotisserie chicken from Walmart. I can eat the whole bag in a day. $6.46 for that bag. Come on, somebody. Trying to get protein in the body, right? But man, Chick-fil-A, what I love about Chick-fil-A, I can't express it. When I worked there, it was like being in boot camp. Man, go work Chick-fil-A. It was like a boot camp. It was drilled in your brain. Customer service is number one. I preached a while back, and Brother Matt owns a business, so I'm not going to, if you want to go, you should all patronize Taco Delight, amen? Bypass Chick-fil-A tomorrow and patronize Taco Delight. But what I'm trying to say is all of that started from the top down. Quality of service never happens from customer up. So what I'm saying is, if you own the business, if you work the job, you do it with excellence. That don't look like praise. It is praise. Now, I ain't got time. My wife, I had her on a Bible study this morning, freaked her out for an hour and a half about heaven, and she was stressed out when we finished that Bible study. I'm not lying. I ain't even going about heaven, but the Bible, I'll just give you a quick snippet. The Bible talks about a new heaven and a new earth. It's going to be more than just one big choir rehearsal around the throne of God. We all praise. It's going to be a new place. And that's something else. And I believe we'll work, we'll go. I'm not talking about you'll be tired, but it's going to be a brand new place. God, man, that's so powerful. So whatever you do, do it with all your might. Unto the Lord. You serve God. You don't serve me, you serve God. Romans 2, the Bible says, Paul said, God will repay each person according to what they have done. Think about that. God will repay. I'm building for it. Again, we're not saved by works. That's already settled. You're saved. But what I do in this life does matter. And God is going to pay those, repay those. Again, I'm not trying to say, well, if I do X, Y, and Z in this life, I'll get these rewards. No, I do it as unto the Lord because he gave me the greatest gift ever. Amen. So I serve him. I give him back my life through my talents, whatever that is. Now, I wanted to say this. It ain't my notes, but it's good preaching anyways, that God has not called everybody to a ministry level. That's preaching, singing, teaching. Let me just help you with something right now. Those are great. God calls those, but I'm going to go. God does call doctors. He calls business owners. He calls welders, pipe fitters. He calls lawyers. He calls police officers. That's a call from God, whether you like it or not. That's a call. The Lord calls people to lead in this area. We thank God for the callings on our life. And if God's given you a talent, if God's given you ability to lead, well, then lead well. If God gave you the ability to be a great welder, well, weld well. Amen. God will repay each person according to what they have done. To those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, he, the Bible says, will give eternal life. Peter said, but just as he has called you as holy, so be you holy in all you do, for it is written, be holy, for I am holy. That simply means you're set apart unto God. Amen? Be holy unto the Lord. God, I'm not, again, I said that, I think it was last Wednesday night. I'm not trying to live my life, and I pray you're not trying to live your life, to see how close I can get to the world and just make it in. I'm not interested in that stuff. God, I want to be holy unto you. Remember, it's not holy unto Brad. Holy unto the Lord. Lord, I want to please you, God. What is it you would have me to do? Remember that verse that says, seek out your own salvation? What's it say? Fear. Trembling. Fear is not afraid of God, but reverence of God. Now, let me just say this in case you think it means this. It doesn't mean cancel out a pastor in your life or the pulpit, but I'm telling you what it does mean. The Bible says, for Brad Davis, I heard the truth. A preacher preached to me the truth. I'm still searching out my own salvation. I'm saying, Lord, I still want to be holy unto you. My holiness may not look just like Sister Kyron's, but God's got her on a total different journey. I'm trying to be holy as unto the Lord. Why? Because I want to be pleasing to him, not to the world, not to my friends. I'm not worried about my peers. I'm worried about Jesus and what he says I want to build for eternity. Amen. How you live every day, we said a few minutes ago, it's being evaluated. Your actions, your choices, your lifestyle, those are building materials. Amen. God's going to reward you for how you lived, not just what you believed. Amen. Second thing we'll be evaluated for, and there's more, but I'm just listing three, is how we grow in God. Your spiritual maturity is going to be evaluated. Let me just say this again. I say it sometimes like a hammer, but I've told you forever. I've heard preachers tell me. I've preached some of the same messages. He said, no one remember what I said. So I just keep preaching the same message, right? If you've been living for the Lord, I'll just say 10 years plus. And if my level, again, I don't know your level. I'm not here to police you. Your life is your life, and I just preach what I feel God gives me, and it's up to you to do what you want to do, right? But if you're living for God 10 years plus, I'll just say that, and you're still at the same level that you were 10 years ago, that's something we call stagnation. That's not growth. Hello? It's not the will of God to have stunted growth in the body. It is the will of God for you to grow into a mature saint. The Bible calls them pillars in the church. I've seen gray-headed elders, don't crucify me, that were not pillars. I've seen 35-year-olds who were pillars. What I mean by that is if I'm still at the same place, the same level of spirituality that I was 10 years ago, 20 years ago, I've not moved. My prayer time's not increased. My reading the Word's not increased. I'm not fasting. I'm not listening to God. I'm not obeying His Word. I'm not building for eternity. Hello? I'm building for the earthly. But the Bible says all this is going to melt away. Amen. And what I do for Christ, all that I do for Christ, that's what's going to last in the end. So it is imperative, it is vital that you become an individual who says, Lord, I'm not, again, let me just, I feel it again. I'm not trying to grow at the pace of Jeff Jones. We got into this problem, and not just Pentecost, it's across every religious spectrum, where people somehow judge their spirituality based off their peers or based off of, well, they've been in church 10 years, I've been in church 10 years, and my level of spirituality trumps their level of spirituality. We don't say it, but we think it. They're never in the prayer room. They just never pray. And here I am, faithful every week. Remember, Paul said it's not wise to compare yourselves
amongst yourselves.
So I'm not worried about what they do. I'm worried about Brad. I'm asking now, Brad, are you where you were 10 years ago, or have you grown? Have you invested in yourself? You want more of God, but you refuse to invest in yourself. I want to be used of God, but I refuse to pray more. I want to be used of God, but I refuse to give more. I want to be used of God, but I refuse to come more. I want to be used of God, but I refuse to do whatever. God, if you want to be used of the Lord, you'll seek after the Lord. We don't seek after God to open doors. That's the wrong mindset too. It's not about God opening doors or God giving promotions or God putting money in the account. That's foolish, earthly. Huh? That's hay, wood, stubble thinking. But we build and we live and we grow in God, not for any of that stuff, but because I want to be pleasing to Him. I want to build a life that is worth everything for Him. In my studies, this verse, it came up, and I want you to hear this. I love this verse. 2 Peter chapter 1. Peter said, make every effort, for this very reason, make every effort. Everyone said, add. Add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you, listen to this, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Peter said, add to these things, and if you want to be considered unproductive or ineffective, don't add. But if you'll add to these things, you'll find out that you'll be effective and you'll be productive in the kingdom. Notice what he said. Everyone said, make every effort. Listen to this. Boy, this is powerful. This ain't original to me, but this is good study and stuff right here. That means growth doesn't just happen. You have to pursue it. Everyone expects Jesus just to be a boyfriend who gives us Valentine's gifts every day of the year. Okay. Any of you dudes who married your wife when you found her, please tell me you were pursuing her. Why? Anybody else? Brother James? Surely. Sister Janine was pursuing you, right? Why were you pursuing her, my good brother? Oh, because he wanted her. I like it. He pursued her because he liked what he saw. He fell in love with her after the fact, but he liked what he saw at first. And said, man, I need more of your attention. So it may have been flowers here, a phone call there. Jenna and I, remember TBC? I told you before, we just listen to each other breathe. That don't happen no more. But I was building for something called relationship. Hello. I was pursuing her, and the same as the God. It's all tied. And remember, the spiritual is a whole lot more real than the physical. And God is saying, if you'll pursue after me, that's how it works.
If you don't pursue, you won't grow. If you didn't pursue, you didn't marry. Some folks pursued Christ to an altar, got baptized with the gospel, and thought that's where it ended, and they were sadly mistaken. That was just the beginning. Amen. I've been pursuing Him all of my life, and I'm not even halfway there, not even an inch there. I want all there is of Jesus and Brad's life. Amen.
So growth doesn't just happen. You got to pursue it. And He gives you the list to pursue. The price, He says, you should pursue goodness. You should pursue knowledge. I ain't got time to preach this, but some folks, there's an erroneous doctrine called the light doctrine that you're saved according to what you know. That ain't Bible. Some folks have said, well, if I didn't know it, God wouldn't hold me accountable. Hang on. If you've been baptized, if you have baptized brains and you're pursuing the Lord, He puts it in your core. You should be adding to your faith goodness and knowledge. And you don't cut away what you don't like and put in what you... No. That ain't how it works. I want the whole counsel of God. Hello. I want all Jesus has for me. So I make every effort to pursue goodness, to pursue knowledge, to pursue self-control. God, help me, Lord, control my anger, control my emotions, control my eyes, control my thoughts. David said, put a guard over my mouth when I would pour into you. When I would pull your head off. Hello. What are you doing, Brad? I'm building. I'm not lying, man. I've been preaching. God's allowed me to preach since I was 16 years old. The preacher should have never let me preach at 16, but He did. All right. God has been good to Brad Davis, all right? Going on 24 years of preaching, and I promise you, in those 24 years, I've taken some people's heads off with my mouth. I've had to go back more than one time and say, man, I shouldn't have said that to you. I ask you to forgive me. Lonnie Jordan, my great uncle, taught me something years ago. One of the greatest oneness preachers to ever walk the planet, and the greatest funeral preacher in the world. I know that sounds crazy, but he was the greatest funeral preacher in the world. Now, he can cry with you if he don't know who you are. I was like, man, how you do stuff like that? But he just has, and it ain't fake, it's real. It's real love. I never forget years ago, he said, Brad, this is hard for my flesh to accept. He said, Brad, he was almost 75, then 76. He said, Brad, even if you know you're right, it's okay to say, will you forgive me if I hurt you? Oh, man, that don't compute in my brain. And his point was, you may be right, but it may release them if you just say the words. Hello. Now, we're talking about self-control, and if you say something stupid, make it right. But God, help us tonight if someone did something to us and they thought they were right, and we know we were right and they were wrong. See how that works? Gets confusing. Yeah. I mean, if you come to the altar and you realize your brother has ought against you, put down your praise, put down your jump, put down your dance, and go to your brother and be reconciled, then come back and pick up your worship and go from there. What are you doing, Brad? You're building for eternity. I'm not building for if my clique likes me. I'm not building for I'm ride or die with my brothers and sisters. No, I care less about your ride or die clan. And I want to be in that angel band. Hello. I'm not worried about anybody else's opinions. If it makes me lose friends, makes folks, okay, get mad. That's all right. I want to make sure we're right with the brothers and the sisters. I want to be clean before God. I want my conscience to be right. Hello. Amen. Add to yourself goodness, knowledge, self-control. Everyone said perseverance. Peter said pursue these things. Man, we're talking about having a life that grows, spiritual maturity. You should pursue perseverance. I know it's hard. I know patience isn't what you like. But the Bible says, believe it or not, it says it's good for you. It helps you in the end. Amen.
Pursue perseverance, God. The Bible says they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Peter said, add to yourself godliness. Add to yourself love. He says these things should be in your life in increasing measure. I mean, it's not you reach a plateau. There is no plateau with God. You're always building with God. Amen. In other words, you shouldn't be the same person you were last year. You shouldn't be the same believer you were 5 years ago. There should be growth in your life, because if there is no growth, Peter again says, you become ineffective, you become unproductive. And that matters, because one day we will stand before Christ. And what is God going to look at? He's going to look at what Brad Davis has become. Not just what we did, but what we became. Hebrews says it like this in chapter 5, verse 13 through 14. Anyone who loves milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. You know what that's really saying? There comes a point in your life, your excuses don't matter anymore. I'm going to say it again. 20 years on a milk diet is not the will of God. If Avon is 20 and still want milk, we got something going on. Hello? If Jathan tomorrow comes to me and says, I need milk for my diet, no, big dog. Hello? Why? Because we would say, that's childish. That's for babies. But man, when I could eat steak, that'd be served in heaven too. I'm telling you, this stuff's going to be there. Believe it or not, amen. In my brain it is, amen. But when I could have, I love a good ribeye. And when I could have a good ribeye, I promise you, I don't want buttermilk. I don't want whole milk. I don't want goat milk. I don't want skim milk. I don't want 2%. I don't want any of that trash. Hello. But so many folks have grown up in the Lord. Then they said, I really don't want that tough meat. I don't want God to require that of me. Let me just go back to the milk. In the Bible, and there's a very powerful verse, the Bible talking about a dog returning to its own vomit. And a pig, you can clean the pig all day long, but where is he going? To the mud. It's in his nature. Hello? Christ has to be formed in you. If he's formed in you, you want more of him. If he's formed in you, if God says, it's nothing but steak tonight. What is steak in modern day? Strong teaching. Strong preaching. Sometimes it gets confused and people say things like, that's offensive preaching. No, it's offensive because you're still trying to live on a milk diet when God called you higher than that. Well, what he said offended me. What he said hurt my feelings. No, it hurts your feelings because God's trying to cause you to go higher. And he wants you to build something that's going to last. Let me just say this. The end of that verse says the reason why you have a steak diet or a solid food diet, this is scary, because the Bible says if you live on the milk, you'll never be able to distinguish between good and evil. The Bible says that. Read it in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14. The Bible says those who have been on solid food are mature, and by constant use, everyone said consistency? By a consistent lifestyle of being on solid food, not going back to a milk diet, they've trained themselves to distinguish between good and evil. That's why your baby at 3 years old didn't know that oven was hot. But you, as a mature adult, said, don't touch that. Anybody know why you knew that? Because your mama told you, don't touch that. And if they didn't get there in time, your hands found out. I shouldn't touch that. Moses said, sin, there is pleasure in sin for a season. But in the end, it leads to death. In the end, it's not good. So Paul or whoever wrote Hebrews is trying to tell you, you need to make sure you live a mature life, because if you're not careful, there have been 30-year-old people, 30-year-old saints, 50-year-old saints in the church who were, for whatever reason, trying or going back to the milk diet, and they lost direction. They lost their focus in the late hour because they couldn't distinguish between good and evil. Jesus said, they that worship me, they must worship him in spirit and in truth. I've seen lots of people who had spirit. They could talk in tongues with the best, but they didn't want truth in their life. It takes spirit and it takes truth. If we're going to make it to heaven, we've got to build for eternity today. And my last point tonight, everyone said serve. Amen. Your stewardship, it's going to be evaluated. I'm studying for this. It said that what you do with what God gave you. Again, we spoke about this in business a while ago, whatever, but listen to what Peter says. 1 Peter 4:10. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in various forms. Notice what he said. Each of you. That means no believer is left out. Every person in this room, whether you believe it or not, God has given you something. A gift, ability, a calling, an opportunity. And God said you should steward that gift. That means you don't own the gift. God gave it to you. And one day, you'll give an account. One of these, I told you a few weeks ago at our First Wednesday Fellowship, I think it was last year, when this verse wrecked my world, when the Bible talks about the man with the talents, he gave 1 5, 1 2 or 3, whatever it was, and 1 1. And the Bible says both of those guys, they doubled their talents. And the one guy, he came back and said, man, I didn't do anything. I buried what you gave me. And then he said something real dumb. He said, I knew you were a hard man. That don't make sense. I buried what you gave me. You gave me a gift. You gave me a calling. And I said, because I'm not as good as that person, they had the same gift I have, God. And I could never measure up to their gift, their calling. Hear me. I'm going to say it again. God didn't call any of you to try to get in the gift comparison business. Amen. Now, I'm a preacher. So when I was like, I'll never forget years ago, Brother Ron Wolford, great mentor in my life. I talked to him today on the phone, and he knew it. I'd listen to every Jeff Arnold message, every Wayne Huntley message, and I'd pretty much copy them. Matter of fact, I had a guy one night, this is how God works. I was in Georgia, or in Arkansas, Hazenville, Arkansas, Teddy Walker's church, and I'd try to preach like everybody else. I'd preach their stuff, preach just like them, and that night, God sent a preacher and said, you need to stop trying to be like everybody else. And just be you. What was that? I was 21 and dumb, but I was trying to find my way. And so many people get so messed up and they're trying to say, well, I can't sing like that one. I can't lead like that. I can never do this. I can never talk like that. And they miss the whole point. God is not going to judge you based off of what Brother Jacob Kelso had or Brother Jaron Jackson had. God will judge Brad based off of Brad and the gifts he gave me. And if I don't give back to God what he gave me, if I don't try to do something with the gift he gave me, that's going to be weighed in the balances in eternity. And he said, make sure you're a good steward over what I gave you. If it's to write, if it's to sing, if it's to play, if it's to lead, if it's to start a business, whatever it is, just lead well. Do it well. Do it with all your might, and God will honor you.
Amen.
2 Corinthians 5:10. Again, it tells us as we close tonight that we are going to all, every one of us, we're going to all stand before God and give an account to what he has given us. The question I have is, do you have something tonight? And the main question is what are you doing
with what God has given you. Jesus said, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over the few things I gave you to do on earth. You led well, you did well, you spoke for my name well, you taught Bible studies, whatever it is God has you do in your life, you did it well. And if you'll do this, I'll put you ruler, or make you ruler over." He didn't say well done because they had something. He said well done because they were faithful with it. Faithfulness is what gets rewarded. Hear this. Not talent. Not ability. See, we think God's like American Idol and Simon Cowell. God's not American Idol judge. Hello? God's not up there saying, "Ha! You didn't make it. Let's put them on a highlight reel, make fun of them." That's not what he does. But he doesn't judge you based off your talent, your ability, not your potential. But he judges you off of your faithfulness. Are you faithful in what I gave you? You said, "God, I want to grow. I want to serve. I'll do whatever it takes." And God says, "Good job. Now just be faithful." Hello? And it's important, you hear me, it's important. This ain't a sin either, because I've seen some goofballs say stupid stuff like, "Well, if God gave me a gift, God will just make it grow." No, he won't. Amen. I don't want to go see a doctor who said, "I'm just depending on God to see me through this ordeal with you today." I want a man who's been in study, who's been preparing for this. I know it's practical, but hear me, somebody. God can give you a gift all day long, but if you don't do something with the gift, if you don't put in the time, the effort, the energy, God can't grow that thing. It took God 40 years of putting Moses through a university called the Hard Knocks to get that guy in the right place. 40 years. He's in a wilderness walking with sheep dung in his slippers. True story. First time he left, he was cocky and arrogant, had it all together, and he killed somebody, and he got ran out of Egypt. When he came back this time, he was scared to death, having to depend on God. Hello? 40 years it took God to get that boy to the right place at the right time. Man, some people, I'm telling you, some folks, I feel a side track. Some people want stuff overnight. That ain't how it works. God gave you a gift. God gave you ability. Go to school. Go to trade school. Get information, whatever you got, get knowledge. That's what you should do. What am I doing? I'm building for eternity. I'm building a gift that God gave me. Amen. Everyone said faithfulness. Amen. I'm done. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 7, "Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not people, because you know that the Lord will reward each one for whatever they do." Everyone said the Lord will do this. Not people, not stuff, not other people. God is going to reward you. That means nothing you do for God is overlooked. Every act of service, every sacrifice, every time you showed up, every time you helped and you wondered, anybody know I was helping? Anybody know I was giving? Who cares about that stuff? God sees all things. Amen. Everyone said serve. Everyone say give. Now, I'm not preaching on give tonight. I have a message for that in a couple of weeks. But how you give of yourself, not just financially, worship, prayer, whatever you want to say, it all matters. We're all trying to get something that's worth building for eternity. Amen? Again, I'm not worried about people and their opinions. I want to please the Lord. And I hope you do. I want to stand before the Lord. And the Lord said, I'm proud of you for doing something with what I gave you. I'm proud of you for doing everything you knew to do with what I gave you. That's not a works-based salvation. That was serving as unto the Lord. There's going to be folks in heaven who served in a Sunday school room, youth, for 50 years that God's going to reward incredibly well because they stewarded what God gave them. Anybody besides me remember favorite youth pastors, favorite Sunday school teachers that impacted your life greatly? Anybody remember that? We thank God for people like that today. Why? Because they were good stewards over what God called them to do. Hello?
And I want to be a good steward over whatever gift God has given me. I want to be a good steward over that. Amen. I want to serve the Lord well. I want to serve his body well. I want to serve my community well. Let's all stand. Now, that this is not spiritual, but it is very spiritual. But serving your community, folks, that's so powerful. I said it the other night. I'm going to say it again. When's the last time you served somebody who couldn't serve you back? When's the last time you invested in someone who you knew they didn't have the means or the whatever to give back? When's the last time you did that? And I encourage you, build something for eternity between now and Sunday. And make it a point. Don't just talk about it. Make it a point to grow this week. Amen. And if you're not where you were, if you've not grown in 10 years, please, I beg you, start growing. How do I grow? Get in his word. Get in prayer. Get in the church. Don't just come to church. Hello? Don't just come to church. Get in the church. I don't mean this building. I mean get in the bride of Christ. There is now, therefore, no condemnation to those who are in Christ. Get in Christ. Get in the church and build something for eternity. Amen? Let's pray. God, we love you, Jesus. Thank you for this great church. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings. Help us, God, to build something that's going to last. Help me, God, to build something that will last for eternity. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone said amen. And clap your hands to the Lord. God, we love you. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Thank you for coming. I do want to say something real quick. I didn't say this on Sunday, but a special thanks to Brother Jackie came last Saturday up here with his equipment, and Brother James Martinez had his equipment, trailers. Tanner Malone, so I forget who I was here helping, Brother Jim Lester, his son-in-law, helping move some of this crazy pile back here. Thank you so much. God bless you, brethren, for coming up here and doing that. We really appreciate that. Amen. We love y'all, and thank you for all you do in this church, all of you.